This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
Thanks for joining us once again here on the eHealth Radio Network. This is your host, Eric Michaels. eHealth Radio gives you the most current health information, news, and advice featuring some of the leading innovators in healthcare and wellness who are changing healthcare as we know it. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. Today we are visiting with Dr. Dustin Reed, board-certified plastic surgeon and co-founder of Restore Austin in Austin, Texas. Dr. Reed is here to talk to us about transgender top surgery. Dr. Reed, a pleasure to have you with us today on the program.
Thank you. Glad to be a part of it.
So for starters, Dr. Reed, what is transgender top surgery?
Well, that's the short name for gender confirmation surgery of the chest and breast that many transgender patients plan to go through. Gender confirmation surgery for the primary sexual characteristics, the genitalia, et cetera, is frequently referred to as bottom surgery. So in the transgender community, including in the healthcare community, they're frequently referred to as top surgery and bottom surgery. And top surgery specifically addresses the secondary sexual characteristics of breast, chest, facial features, et cetera.
And what are some components of this procedure, and how do the procedures differ from FTM and MTF?
So, as you mentioned, FTM is short for female to male, and MTF is male to female. And again, these are just kind of the words that are commonly used within the community. The components of the procedure differ from female to male, which you are basically removing breast tissue and contouring the chest wall to give a more masculine chest. And it's not just a matter of removing the breast tissue like you would do in a cancer-oriented mastectomy. This is with the goal of an aesthetic male chest. So we also have to move where the nipple and areola are placed. We have to change the size of the nipple and areola because it's usually much smaller in a male chest. Both the nipple and the areola are smaller. And so the goal is an aesthetic look, not just removal of tissue. Now, in the male-to-female patients, the goal is almost exactly the opposite. That's to feminize the chest, which requires adding breast tissue, typically in the form of a breast implant. But again, it's placing the implant on the chest wall in such a way that it looks feminine and not just a large mound on a male's chest. And that requires some, at least, experience and specialty knowledge to get that just right.
Dr. Reed, should anything be done to prepare preoperatively, and are there any restrictions that could keep a patient from undergoing this surgery?
Well, as far as preparation goes, it's obviously the person needs to be living as the gender that they identify with and be comfortable in that role. So for some period of time, they need to be living in as their gender identity specifies. And sometimes that means hormone replacement has begun. Typically, it means that they have been involved with a licensed therapist to treat their gender dysphoria. The WPATH, which is the organization for transgender health, recommends that they have a letter from their therapist stating that they are psychologically ready to have this surgical alteration because, you know, it's a permanent thing that we're doing. I use what's called the informed consent model, which is I do it based on each patient. Sometimes they haven't seen a therapist, they don't feel comfortable seeing a therapist, but they've been living as their specific gender for years. They know that they're ready for this. This is the same model we use for all other patients who are having surgery. So I do it on a case-by-case basis using the informed consent model. As far as are there any restrictions to keep a patient from undergoing this surgery? Not specifically. Again, that's on a case-by-case patient or case-by-case basis. I would say that typically speaking, I would not put breast implants in someone less than 18 years old. They can use padding in their bra, et cetera, to hide that. If parents are involved, I will do female-to-male surgery in someone less than 18 if parents, therapist, everyone is involved, because if they have very large pendulous breasts, there's nothing they can do to hide those, and these are very formative years sometimes through high school, etc. So again, it's on a case-by-case basis using the informed consent model.
Today we are visiting with Dr. Dustin Reed, board-certified plastic surgeon and co-founder of Restore Austin in Austin, Texas, here on eHealth Radio's Plastic Surgery Information Channel, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Continuing on, what is the recovery process like in these regards, and are there side effects or any complications that we should know about?
The recovery process is relatively easy. I do not typically use drains when I'm doing female-to-male surgery. I guess I should say I don't use drains for male to female either. I would say that most patients take a week off of work and just take it easy for that 1 week, and typically we can have them back in their regular lifestyle within a couple weeks. So recovery is not bad at all. As far as are there any side effects or complications, it's like all other surgery, there are risks for complications, risks for side effects. The most common complications would be things like fluid collections that we might have to drain in the office, or problems with healing along the scar line or around the nipple and areola. But these are very infrequent, and so not common complications for sure. And as far as side effects are concerned, typically not. Maybe every now and then to a medication, but just like in your typical patient population, these are small risks.
And lastly, Dr. Reed, what are some important things a person should know or ask their surgeon about before considering this type of surgery?
Well, an informed patient is always the best patient to have. Typically speaking, transgender patients are very well informed. They've been thinking about this for almost their entire life, and so they are a well-informed patient population. I think probably the most important thing that you could want to know about your surgeon is, does he or she do this type of surgery frequently? It's a surgery that has many nuances, many little slight things that can be the difference between pretty good and fantastic result. And so you just want someone who does this frequently and is committed to it. I have been doing it for several years. My patient population has grown, and it's come to be one of my favorite procedures that I perform. The patients are incredibly appreciative. They are overwhelmingly happy, and they are just one of the pleasant groups of patients that I deal with, and I find it very personally rewarding, and so I'm committed. I'm involved with several of the transgender health organizations. I speak at conferences about it, and I'm just involved in the community and enjoy the surgery very much. And that's who you need to seek out to do this. This is where you're going to have your best result, your most sympathetic teammate in this, what's a life-changing event for these patients.
Well, Dr. Reed, we certainly do appreciate your time. Before you go, where can listeners get all the details online on your practice there in Austin, Texas?
Yeah, they could just go to our website at restoreaustin.com. They should follow me on Instagram at dr.atxplasticsx. Feel free to email us, come by the office, call us, 512-371-8817, and we'd love to see him.
Again, Dr. Reed, it has been our pleasure, and thanks so much for joining us here today on eHealth Radio. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much. I've enjoyed it.
And you're more than welcome. We've been speaking with Dr. Dustin Reed, board-certified plastic surgeon and co-founder of Restore Austin in Austin, Texas. And for further details and to learn more, visit restoreaustin.com. www.ftmshort.com. And again, this has been your host, Eric Michaels, and we do thank you for your continued support of the eHealth Radio Network. Join us again soon for another episode that will help further expand your knowledge on those things that are important to your health and wellness. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. And as always, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.